yeah.
For sure. We need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know,
that, man. For
yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Listen, this is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York clip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Della made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.
Yeah, peace and love. Peace and love. What up, everybody? Sorry about 30 seconds late. I apologize, but I am here now. Better late than never, they say. You're listening to the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces. We're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30, doing this thing that we do called the New York Hip Hop Report. We basically kick it with you sports talk radio style. We talk about some things going on in and around the five boroughs, the Mecca, the birthplace of hip-hop, New York City. Shouts to 1520 Sedgwick Ave in the Bronx. Shouts to the old school, the new school, the future school, everybody who's a part of hip-hop, participates in hip-hop, calls themselves hip-hop, lives hip-hop, loves hip-hop in New York and our surrounding areas. We come to you live every Sunday night bringing you this show. We want to talk about some things that are happening in the New York area in regards to hip-hop, and not just the music, not just the rappers, you know, but all elements of hip-hop are welcome here. All you know, all aspects of hip-hop music and culture. You won't hear that from your friendly neighborhood commercial radio stations. You won't hear that from most of your big old blogs and, you know, OG journalists. No, no, no. You'll have to come here and find out what's really good in New York City hip-hop. Find out all the good stuff that you might be missing out on because, you know, you think it doesn't exist. You think that hip-hop is all about what's being played on the radio. You are sadly, sadly mistaken. We're here every week. This is now episode 114. 114 weeks we've been doing this. If you're listening to us live, shouts to you. You might have just caught the end of the Super Bowl. Big Super Bowl Sunday in America. And more importantly, one day after my birthday. My name is Manny Faces, and I'm now 22 years old. I'm a little bit older than 22. But yesterday was my birthday. I had a great, amazing birthday. Shouts to me. Shouts to Mrs. Faces, has the same birthday as me. And shouts to the Super Bowl victors. I think as of like 20 seconds ago, it looked like it was going to be the sucky New England Patriots beating the, spoiler alert, if y'all, you know, I'm pretty sure you're not like DVRing the Super Bowl, so it's all good. Who beat the Seattle Seahawks, it looks like, as of a few seconds ago with the dramatic end of the game play. And that's that. But we're not here to discuss sports, even though it's like sports talk radio. It's New York Hip Hop Report. We're brought to you by Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York hip hop with the number one New York area events, hip hop event calendar in the history of the planet. And we're very proud of that. So if you need to go check out what's popping in the New York City area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, definitely Long Island, Strong Island, where I rest. And you can check that out at the birthplacemag.com events calendar. Of course, some really interesting uploads and new releases and interviews and editorials and all kind of stuff that relates and revolves around New York hip-hop. Again, my name is Manny Faces. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Birthplace Magazine, the creator and host of this show. And I'm joined this week, as I am nearly every week, by my man, my mellow. He's a writer for written for birthplacemag.com. He's been co-hosting this show for ever in the day. His name is the mighty, mighty Steve Ortiz. He's up in the Bronx where the people are fresh. What up, Steve?
Hey, what up, man? What's up, New York? What's up, everyone? It's nice to be on the air talking hip-hop.
Always nice to be on the air talking hip-hop. We talk hip-hop all the time. in a, you know, be it a barbershop or on the internet, Facebook, and all this stuff. So we actually give people a platform where you can call up and discuss it. All of our shows are archived. Plenty of people listen to this show every week. Last week was a very well-listened-to episode. I was checking the stats. Last week was big. Last week, of course, we were talking about Hot 97. We were talking about Funkmaster Flex going off on Jay-Z. You know, sometimes, you know, our heart's in the underground and in the independent scene in hip-hop in New York. But sometimes, obviously, what's happening on the major dials affects us, and we like to talk about it. We have a history of not agreeing with Hot 97, not agreeing with commercial hip-hop radio, feeling that they are unfairly, you know, milking the hip-hop legacy and not paying homage or tribute in the way they should. Last week was a great episode. We had some great callers give their 2 cents about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about Hot 97 this week. It's like every week, Steve, there's something going on at that damn station. And we've long since called their, you know, kind of predicted their downfall, their impending doom, in regards to at least being the hip-hop station of record in New York City and really being the flagship radio station for hip-hop in general. And we're seeing that decline continue. As of this week, we lost Cypher Sounds, longtime DJ and on-air personality.
17 years he was with them.
17 years.
They couldn't come to an agreement.
They could not come to an agreement.
What is wrong? Besides, you know, basically say, I guess, you know, I know in certain terms you're old, you know, get out of here.
You know, they are bringing in new program directors we've talked about in the past, and we're bringing in new on-air personalities to take over that that spot that was held by the legendary voice of New York, Angie Martinez, the spot that was being held down by Cypher Sounds in the afternoon. We talked about that a little bit last week. We're going to talk about it a little bit this week. You know, listen, radio is a bottom-line business. It's all about
basketball where you get all the rookies, you know, the young players and –
Well,
you're on a great team. I mean,
you
get someone from California hosting a drive time radio show in NYC, and her favorite rapper is Nicki Minaj. And no disrespect to Nicki Minaj, but she doesn't know New York hip hop. So she has to learn it, obviously. And no disrespect to whatever she's done in the past, because
Mary Law
has been, you know, a good host in what she's done. But I would think, you know, you would hire someone or have someone in that spot that knows, you know, New York. Yeah, they know something about New York. Someone that's at least familiar. I mean, out of all the people they could have gotten.
Right, right.
This is
that's
where they
the,
go. San
that's
Francisco,
the issue.
I mean, where she was working last.
And that's the issue with 103.9, the other radio station that came into New York, which isn't a hip-hop station, but I'm not sure why these big corporations really feel like they can come into New York City and bring in all this out-of-town talent. I'm not sure why they feel the need to do that. I'm not sure if they understand that New York City is a different city than any other city on the planet, and that, you know, there is something to having homegrown. Like, if you're not from New York City, you don't know New York City. You know what I mean? And I think that's a big issue, and it's plaguing our hip-hop stations, and we're seeing that. I mean, listen, it's a numbers game. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the ratings. You know, if you feel that young people are going to be you know, the way to go, and you bring in this new afternoon drive time. Her name is Nessa. She's from the Bay Area. She's very pretty. She's very young. She's very bubblicious. She's very MTV. She's done some MTV hosting. That's great for a Z100 or for a, you know, for a Hot 97 that wants to be more, you know, pop-oriented. Then they're going to have to go back to the earth. The only thing that we have a problem with them is that they fly the flag of hip-hop. And they don't represent hip-hop in its entirety. And I'm tired of corporations trying to redefine the words hip-hop, trying to redefine what that means, and trying to make it so that it's only a playlist, a genre, when it's much more than that. So we're going to talk about that. If you have any thoughts on that, we want to hear from you. Should Cypher Sound have been let go or kept his job? Was Cypher, you know, the next in line? Did he get jerked? Is there an ageism problem in hip-hop radio in New York City? We know that ageism does exist in hip-hop. You know, there's definitely a generation gap. We talked about classic hip-hop radio coming up on different places in the world, you know, whether it could work here in New York City or not. But there's got to be a way to kind of satisfy this really huge audience that isn't getting any service. They're not totally young and into, you know, the 106 and Park crowd, for lack of a better, you know, term, but they're not old school all the time either. There's this huge middle ground. People like me, people like you, we like some of the new stuff. We like some of the old stuff. I don't want to hear old school hip hop all the time. But I don't want to hear, you know, Migos all the time. Can we find some middle ground? Can we find some balance? Now, one gentleman who is very representative of this possible middle ground, this balance, is a young man named Joey Badass. He released an album, his highly anticipated debut album, Before the Money, just last week or so, week and a half, whatever. And he's done impressive numbers for a, you know, independent, you know, basically independent, non-major label artist who's been making some buzz for a long time. We want to talk about that tonight. What does his relative success, because some people are saying this is amazing. He sold 50,000 records. He's independent. This is a new day. You know, look, Rick Ross only sold 50,000 records, and he's on a huge label. This is amazing. And we're all for independent success in hip-hop. We long said years ago, I go back 2 years on this show, and I've said this is a great time to be an independent artist in hip-hop. You're gonna have a renaissance. But, you know, what does it really mean? What do people really think of Joey Badass's album? We want to hear from you guys on both of these issues. Some people say we don't have to care about New York hip-hop radio, that the mainstream radio, you know, they stop listening. It's not for us. But I contend differently. I say, listen, they're out there representing hip hop. They're representing you, if you call yourself hip hop, and they're running rampant. We need to reel them in.
They put their name on all, you know, these events that they sponsor. You know, if it's Hot 97, then it's official.
Right.
You know, stop running that game on everyone.
That's what we want to do. We want to kind of hold them to account. And if they're not going to be able to do it, then they can gladly stop calling themselves Where Hip Hop Lives and a home for hip-hop and all that jazz. So, the New York Hip Hop Report, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about Joey Badass. We're talking about Cypher Sounds and Hot 97. And then later on in the show, an artist and an entrepreneur, his name is Mike Hands. He represents Them Recordings, T-H-E-M Recordings. They put out a lot of good music. We post a lot of it on birthplacemag.com. And Mike Hands, also not only an artist and a label co-founder, I believe, he also runs a regular concert series called the Ritter's Block. Not Writer's Block, it's Ritter's Block, I think. It's spelled Ritter's Block. So we're going to find out. But this concert series has been going on for several months in New York City. Recently, I think we're down in Philly expanding. So I like to see when showcases are popping up and, you know, and doing well, showcasing some great talent. This Friday, February 6th, the Ritter's Block concert, it's Mike Hand's birthday. Concert's going down at Coco 66 Greenpoint Avenue in Brooklyn, celebrating Mike Hand's birthday. But it's a really good show. It's going to have Sean Price representing that Duck Down family, Smith and Wesson representing that Duck Down family, Smooth the Hustler, Blitzkrieg, King Magnetic, Illa G, Cheddar Bang, Milkbone, looks like. So a good lineup of classic New York hip hop, new New York hip hop. All in a place to be. Coco 66 this Friday, February 6th. We're going to talk to Mike Hands tonight. He's going to call us up a little later on. He's going to kick it with us about Them Recordings, the Ritter's Block concert series, and what they've got going on, what we can expect this Friday. Once again, the New York Hip Hop Report with me, Manny Faces, and him, Steve Ortiz. We're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30. We love you for listening and checking in. Shouts to the guests in the chat room. If you're listening live, you don't see a chat room, maybe you logged on a little early, refresh the page. You'll see a chat room down below, and we'd love you to join in. And guests usually mean first-time listeners, so thanks for checking us out. Put in the chat room what you'd like to talk about. And, of course, this is like Sports Talk Radio. You get to call us up. So please, if you have 2 cents to spare, want us to talk about anything that we're talking about or anything else maybe we're not talking about, maybe we should be talking about, we'd love to hear from you. 646-378-1282 is the number to call. 646-378-1282. Hit us on Twitter at NY Hip Hop Report and visit our website, nyhiphopreport.com. You can sign up for the mailing list over there and listen to all of our old episodes, all our, you know, archives and all that jazz. Birthplacemag.com, we did talk about the Cypher Sounds Hot 97 issue there. And, of course, we're talking about that tonight as well. So give us a call. Let us know what you think about these things. Joey Badass. Steve, did you get to check his album?
Yes, I did, actually. I actually purchased it. It's a good album. I mean, you know, it's a little different from, because he's already put out, you know, albums before, not major releases.
Right.
So you feel like, to me, it felt like another Joey Badass album.
Right.
Could I say it's like the best album in the world? I wouldn't say so, but I think it's a well-balanced album, you know, signature Joey Badass. And I, you know, the more I listen to it, the more I like it. But you got to give it a chance. I feel like maybe it's maybe 2-3 songs too long.
Hmm.
But I think what's there is solid work, and I think it bodes well, you know, for him going forward.
Now we,
you know,
there was
maybe one track, and I think it was one of the bonus tracks. It just felt too kind of, I don't want to say commercial, but like, or maybe filler. Maybe that's why I feel like it, you know. But
yeah.
Other than that, I think it's a solid effort. I'm actually disappointed that it didn't sell more. I mean, it sold about 56,000 albums. I think it was streamed 3 million times. I thought he'd get more support. Even though it's a ton of support these days, but.
Right.
I hope and see bigger numbers.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. This is a couple of things that I've seen on this. First of all, the quality of the album. First of all, I've listened to most of it. I do get a good vibe off it. Like I say, I'd say it's a solid project. 1999, his mixtape that really caught everyone's attention, set a really high bar for not only him, but just for, you know, music in general. It was a really solid project. But I think that Before the Money is a really strong effort for him. I've seen some criticisms. I'm not one to, you know, judge too much because I'm one guy. I like some songs. I didn't like some other songs. You know, whatever. It's a standard album to me. Some people suggested that, sort of like what you're saying, Steve, maybe along these lines, a little too long or not enough subject matter, you know, depth, you know, over the course of the full album. But a really good, solid album. I asked on Facebook before the show. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Manny Faces. I asked on Facebook what people thought about the Joey Badass album, you know, now that they have time to marinate with it. I got a couple of comments on there. Osiris Anthem, an MC himself, says, "It's good, not great. Good lyrics, lacking on concepts and varying topics." All right, so good. Good but not great. A nice, solid, you know, effort. Will Gahn, who's a big hip-hop head from out here, did a lot of work out here, some early work with Bishop Nehru, friend of ours, who's now out in Australia, chilling out in Australia. He lives out there now.
Oh,
which is really interesting. Says, "Needs to grow on me. It's an independent success. Wouldn't call it a classic. Doesn't feel like one." And that's fair. I think the word classic is thrown out a lot too much these days. But that independent success, that's important. We're going to talk about that. Verse Al Cap says it represents balance. And that's also key. So these are key things that I think we want to focus on with Joey Badass. Now, it may not have been the, you know, Illmatic, 2015. But it's just.
And that's the thing, too, because, you know, when Nas came out.
And why should it be?
I mean, when Nas came out, and even other artists, when they came out, you didn't have this big mixtape game before the major release came out. You know, you had a few singles dropped, you know, on vinyl, and then the album dropped, and that was your first taste.
Like
an underground tape or whatever, but, you know, Joey Badass releasing his album now, it's like he's released 1999, he's released Summer Nights, he's done a lot of the pro-era work, and a lot of stuff, like, fantastic.
Right, it's not a technical, it's not a real debut, you know what I mean?
It's a lot to live up to.
Well, it's also actually, you know what it is? It's also more like a sophomore album. You know, people always talk about the sophomore jinx, right? Someone comes out with a great debut album, and it's like, how are they able to, follow that? You know, they say you have all your life to write your first album and, you know, 8 months to write your second. So in some regards, if you don't count Summer Nights, which was an EP that turned into an album, right, if I remember correctly? But if you don't count Summer Nights, which I think was in some ways, you know, put out to make sure that the buzz was still buzzing. You know what I mean? It was almost put out just to make sure that
videos too. I mean,
right. So it had its purposes, but I think that the two main out was 1999 and this album, And I think that if you look at it that way, he absolutely avoided a sophomore jinx, because not only is it a solid effort, you know, material-wise, solid, you know, effort, but it sold a good amount of records, you know, in you know, today's landscape. I don't think it represents a giant independent success, which some people are using. Well, let me rephrase that. I think that it's a very successful independent release. But there are some people who say, who like to make that comparison to a Rick Ross or a major label release and say, look, it's just as good as a Rick Ross who sold 50,000. And I disagree with that. I disagree with that because it's not about how many records you sell when you're at that level. Rick Ross has still got a marketing, you know, machine behind him. He's still going to play arenas and summer jam concerts and giant stages and get paid a lot of money on the real meat and potatoes of the new music business performances. And don't forget when Rick Ross did that lyric and he was, you know, being barked at for the, you know, you ain't even know it line about the date rape drug, he lost an endorsement. Joey Badass isn't getting, you know, $100,000 endorsements yet. And he's not playing, you know, huge arenas. Not, you know, but he sold some records and he's probably getting a good cut of that. And he's able to make a living as an artist and go tour and tour across the country and across the world. So in some regards, it is a very good, it bodes well for independent artists, which we've been saying for many years. It's a great time to be an independent artist if you play your cards right. I suggest this. I say that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because, Steve, you and I know there's some artists that are better than Joey Badass. You know? And now being able to parlay and learn from someone like him who kind of really went out there and set this, and who learned from the people before him, because I'm sure he learned from the ASAP Rockies and the you know, other artists that came out from the New York area, certainly, and from the independent artists from other portions of the country. This could really be the real start of an indie hip-hop renaissance that we've been seeing bubble up with you know, certain rappers across the country that have been making noise without major label backing.
It'll be interesting to see Action Bronson's. I mean, his album, you know, Mr. Wonderful.
Yep.
Will it sell maybe 100,000 its first week? Will it sell less than Joey Badass?
Right. And they're major. He's not, Action Bronson's coming out on Vice, right? So he's not major, but there's certainly pull there. Like, Vice has pull. I'm not sure who is distributed through. You know, I don't know I don't have all the behind the scenes activity of the record labels, but, you know, is it that death knell to the major label structure? I don't think so. I think there's still a big benefit to being, you know, to having the machine behind you. And that some artists are going to say, well, I don't want to get that big deal anymore because I could do it like this. Now, it takes a lot to, you know, a lot of work and luck and timing and the right people to be a successful indie artist a la Joey Badass. That doesn't happen to everybody. You've got to be quite exceptional and have the right, you know, things in fall into place for you. So if you're now an artist saying, wow, this proves to me that with my crappy, you know, SoundCloud page and, you know, my tiny ass movement that, you know, is really not a movement, that I'm going to make it now because I don't have to get a deal and he didn't have to get play on major radio to be successful, to borrow a term from our friend Cypher Sounds or our friend Funkmaster Flex, don't get gassed. It's going to take more than that. However, it does help that Joey Badass is pretty dope. Yogi Guy just commented.
Live all over the world. I mean, they have a great tour. You know, they do good shows. They've been out all over the world, and this is before his major label debut. So, like you were saying before, you know, it is in essence kind of a sophomore album.
Yeah.
You know, you sense the growth. You know, his voice has matured.
Right.
You know, working with a few different producers. You know, premieres on this. And some other, as well as the, you know, the Chuck Strangers and the Static Selectors,
Yes.
But definitely growth on his album. I mean, there's definitely tracks on this album that, you know, I listen to over and over again, and I think it's, you know, it's good for New York hip-hop, but, you know, I'm still disappointed with the sales. I mean, I know sales aren't everything, but, you know, someone like Joey Badass has, you know, close to 500,000 followers on Twitter and
right.
You know, probably about the same on Instagram. And when you see something like his album sell, you know, 55,000 copies, you know, you're like, where's the support? You know, I think a lot of people just didn't go out and buy it. You know,
you think that, you know, you think that 50,000 is not actually that good an outcome?
Listen, I'm not saying he's on the same level or has the same marketing as a Taylor Swift, but I mean, look at J. Cole. J. Cole's, and like I said, J. Cole's an established artist already, but
he's got Jay-Z behind him, right? I mean, you know.
I mean, 700,000 copies already of his album and climbing towards a million. That's impressive.
Now, I'll tell you this. Well, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. And you know the big difference. The big difference is J. Cole still gets radio play. J. Cole gets radio play. People downplay the effect. They say, I don't listen to the radio anymore. I'm not trying to check for the radio anymore. And J. Cole isn't all over the radio by any means. I mean, you're going to hear Chris Brown 9,000 times more than you hear J. Cole.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I'll hear J. Cole, you know, in New York.
But you hear me.
But when you see these album totals, you're like, this country, you know, supports, or the world, to buy, you know, his album 700,000 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an accomplishment. And, I mean, EPMD would drop an album back in the day and maybe sell 250,000 the first time out. And they were reaching less people.
Right. So you're saying that Joey Badass really should have been supported more, and that it isn't that great a success. I agree with you. I don't think it's as great a success as a lot of people are touting it to be.
100,000 copies was my minimum to say. And I think it's just a success. But I think 100,000 would have showed me, you know, there's a lot of people really behind him and supporting him by going out and buying the albums. We don't buy music anymore.
Well, now listen. Again, I also think, and listen, call us up if you're listening. Check us out. 646-378-1282. We're debating whether or not 50,000 sold on an independent level, Joey Badass, a talented, young, energetic, growing, maturing artist that we like. We like him. We like to listen to him. I like the stuff he says. I like his vibe. I like his crew. I like the Pro Era crew. I dig their team. I like Static Selector behind him. I like the people at Duck Down, you know, helping out. I like all his independent, you know, movements. I like the fan base. I like everything about him. I was a huge early supporter, was I not, of Joey Badass 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this means something, but I'm wondering what it really means. Give us your 2 cents, either on how you like the album, whether you think that he was, you know, lived up to the hype, didn't live up to the hype, represents the New York hip-hop sound, whether he's getting love from... We have some listeners that are from across the country. Check, you know, give us a call. Let us know if you're feeling him in another part of the country. He sounds very New York. He sounds very retro. You know, let us know what you think about Joey Badass, 646-378-1282. And again, this is why radio play is important. Funk Flex, just the other day, Hot 97, ended his Saturday night show with Joey Badass song. And he gave him props. You know, this young man sold a lot of records, he said. This young man sold a lot of records, and he's from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn. Boom, drop bombs. Play the record. And I love that. That's great. Listen, I mean, who doesn't want to be, you know, heard every day on the Hot 97? That's my word, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, damn, Flex, where were you like a year ago? When a young man could have used some radio play. He was still from Brooklyn then. He was still buzzing. He didn't sell a lot of records, but a hell of a lot of people downloaded his mixtape. Now, I'm not saying that they paid to have Flex, you know, you know, play some of that. I don't know. I don't think they did. I think he genuinely maybe wanted to play the song. But where were you a year ago, Flex? Like, God damn, whatever happened to the Flex, the Flex that would break new music?
That was hitting hard a few years ago, like not only a year ago. He's been hitting for a number of years now.
You know, like it's like Now all of a sudden you calling out Jay-Z for being a corporate rapper and you're just a bandwagon DJ? Like, I can't. This is why it's important to me, like, to really go at Hot 97. I mean, like, come on, Flex. Like, what have you become? And what is the station turned into? Where, you know, you throwing Joey Badass a bone at the end of your show. Like, and then, like, really touting the fact that Red Alert, shouts to Red Alert, you know, a legend in the game, just, I'm in awe whenever I'm around Red Alert. I opened for Red Alert as a DJ last year. Shouts to Man Deep. Shouts to the crew at Vita Lounge, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And I opened for Red Alert as a DJ. Like, that's like a milestone in my life. So shouts to Red Alert. And Flex is touting the fact that Red Alert is now doing his show earlier tonight, 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, the retro show. You know, he's touting that. He's as some, look at us, we're killing the game. Red Alert broke everybody in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hip, we owe Red Alert for hip hop music. He made it happen by breaking by playing artists that no one else was playing. And here you are throwing Joey Badass a bone at the end of your show. You bandwagon DJ. Like, how does Funkmaster Flex turn into a bandwagon DJ where he only playing somebody once they get dumb hot instead of making them dumb hot? Shit, now you got me hot. See?
He became lazy, man. You know, he's not as motivated, I think, for the music like he used to be. I mean, he has the other ventures, the promotions he's doing to actually put on some of these old school shows. He has his cars. You know, this is, he made his living already, and now he's just like, you know, I mean, he's just there as this filler, almost like, you know, as a caricature of his, you know.
Well, listen, if you
separate from who he really was.
When it comes to hip hop music and culture, man, if you're not with us, you're against us. So if that's what you're about, and like you're just there to fill in that corporate role, like corporate hip hop is disturbingly damaging. I just saw a post. I can't find it. I commented on it on Facebook, and it was a guy, Dr. Boyce Watkins, okay? So this guy has a site, and he has a bunch of videos and interviews. And Dr. Boyce Watkins put up a story that said on a blog, yourblackworld.net. And the entry, I know I'm going off on a little tangent, but the entry says, black scholar says toxic hip-hop is like feeding black kids cyanide for breakfast. And he did an interview with a doctor named Dr. Leah Gunning Francis. She has a doctorate in theology. She's the associate dean for contextual education and assistant professor of Christian education at the Eden Theological Seminary in St. Louis. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. When you have all these people out there talking about how negative hip-hop is, it's real easy to say this about hip-hop. It's real easy to say there's so much crappy content in hip-hop music on the radio, da-da-da-da-da. That's the impression that really smart people have. Now, I'm not saying that Dr. Leah Gunning Francis is unintelligent. She's obviously very intelligent. And she claims to be, she says she's from Jersey, and she grew up on hip-hop, and she could talk about KRS-One all day, and, you know, she came up in the golden era. Great. Dr. Boyce Watkins has a ton of these videos on YouTube with titles like, there's another hip-hop, a couple of hip-hop ones. He talks about a lot of things. I lost them. But, again, debating hip hop, using hip hop sort of as a scapegoat for some of the ills of America. And this is an old, tired debate because these people have platforms and they don't study hip hop enough to understand all the great things that hip hop has to offer. It's what I wrote about when we talked about Questlove, talking about there needs to be artists making protest songs and there's not enough hip-hop making noise about Ferguson and Eric Garner when there's like plenty of hip hop heads making noise about Ferguson and Eric Garner.
That's the thing. They're making an argument, but then they're not, you know, all right, so you're saying there's not this, you know, music that's smart and that really gets to people and that's, you know, informative. But, you know, you don't give us examples, so that just shows you're phony right there.
It's not phony. Maybe it's ignorant, but you're right. It's phony, but you don't have a – if you're not going to speak with a wide knowledge – yeah, if you're not going
to
speak
you
with a wide –
you don't have enough knowledge to speak on it, so don't speak.
Thank you. Exactly. That's exactly it. Now, the problem is that they get their information because they don't listen to the New York Hip Hop Report. You know, we're trying to expand our platform, expand our voice for just this week.
They look at Hip Hop Weekly.
They look at
look at this.
Exactly.
Look at these guys acting a fool. Look at this guy, multiple baby. I mean,
right. They're using that. They're right. They're absolutely right. Obviously, there's a negative aspect of hip hop. Obviously, we like there to be a bigger variety of hip hop, but I don't ever call out what's on the radio, content-wise. You hear that from me? See, like I have a problem with people that do that. I really think it's an easy, lazy argument to look at the negativity in hip-hop and write a think piece about it for your blog or go on your video and talk about it. It's mad easy. Like, you don't like the content of a hip-hop song, but you claim, like, you came up in the 90s and you listen to Mobb Deep? Really? Yeah. We listen to Two Live Crew, Biggie. We could pull out some Biggie lyrics that are abhorrent. That, you know, but you want to call it. No, shut up. Enough. Hip-hop isn't any more worse than it is today than it was in 1993. It's just that the media is choosing to broadcast very small segment of hip-hop in general. If you're not smart enough to see that, and if you're not wise enough to use your platform and criticize the negative but shed light on the positive, then you're doing the same disservice that, you know, CNN is going to do because they don't know hip-hop either. So I appreciate Dr. Boyce Watkins for being a blogger and a video blogger, and Dr. Leah Gunning Francis as a, quote, black scholar that says toxic hip-hop is like feeding black kids cyanide for breakfast. We don't need black scholars to tell us that hip-hop can be bad. We need black scholars and scholars in general to point out that hip-hop can still be good. Otherwise, you're just perpetrating the same stereotypes that you're bitching about, because you're doing just as bad. You're saying this is all there is. Hip hop is terrible. There's no positivity. There's nobody with a message. And I don't want gospel hip hop either, man. Sometimes I like to get screw faced up and, you know, listen to some grimy stuff. But balance is important. And that's why we need to take back the radio. We can't. Everyone says I'm not listening to the radio, but these people are. And then they're getting on their blogs and they're getting on their videos and they're talking about how hip hop is toxic because that's what they hear on the radio. So I don't care whether you listen to the radio or not. The radio has to be a better representation of the community that it serves. And that's been the problem all these years. That's why we took the Hot 97 petition to FCC. And we want to show balance. And that's what I like about bringing it back around. That's what I like about a Joey Badass. He may not be a huge, overwhelming success, but it's strong enough to get the attention and say, here's a guy that isn't following that radio formula. Mm-hmm. And he sold a good amount of records, and he's got a good amount of buzz. Keep it going, Joey. We need that. And it's the tip of the iceberg because if, you know, there's so many others that are waiting in the wings that it could really be a good thing. You were going to say, Steve?
You know, and for him, you know, and maybe for the label, you know, 55,000 as far as album sales is probably on the bottom of the bucket as far as importance for them. like we were saying earlier, the tours, you know, the brothers with the tours, the merchandise. So the 55,000, whereas, you know, it meant a lot, you know, maybe 10, you know, 20 years ago, it doesn't mean that much anymore, I guess, in certain areas or, you know, certain camps where, you know, for them, you know, as long as they're kicking ass, you know, with these live shows all over the world, you know, the extra money they make from the albums, you know, that'll pay for, you know, the food or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt. It's all about touring again. It's back to the 70s again. It's all about touring and going across the globe and, you know, and just doing, you know, dates here and there. And he's been doing that. It's great. It's great to be able to make your money. You know, friend of the show that we talk to, you know, every now and then, Homeboy Sandman. You know, it was a totally underground MC, totally against the grain, not making radio-ready songs at all, but making great music. And now, you know, he got picked up by Stone Store Records. He's touring the world. He's, you know, he had a North American tour with Brother Ali. He's gone across the sea.
And if he had to rely totally on album sales, he'd be done.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? So it's not about what you sell anymore, you know? They talk about last year being like a horrible year for hip hop and record sales and hip hop is dead because nobody went platinum last year. Yo, it's not about that anymore. It's about how are you finding ways other streams of revenue. You know, Joey Badass selling 50 grand is nice, but he's touring. And you know what? Malia Obama is wearing a Pro Era shirt. So guess what? People are buying Pro Era shirts. Like that merch sales is money in the bank. You know what I mean? So they're doing it, and they're doing it in a different way. They're moving forward.
They're making money off the streams, right? I mean, they did say 3 million streams, which
yeah,
I don't know what that amounts to.
If it's
a legal stream to like Spotify or something else.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, that's pennies. You know, you don't know who's making money on Spotify.
But if an album's getting streamed 3 million times, then where's the support to go out and buy the album? I mean, you take maybe 100,000 of those and translate it into
buy the album. Buy
the album,
right. Buy it. So listen, I bet you it would be better or just as good if they go to see the shows. I don't know. I'd love to find it. That's a project. I'm going to see what does one ticket, like what percentage of, like what what's better for an artist these days? A ticket sale or an album purchase?
I think ticket sale.
Maybe. You know, maybe. I mean, if you add to that, like, merchandise sales in the place, like potential merchandise sales that could come accompany a ticket sale, it may be more important. Like, this whole selling records and numbers doesn't really matter much anymore. I think 50,000 is actually pretty good.
I mean, you might have people that, let's say, they're good at 5 Joey Badass shows a year. They're investing in the artist, you know what, $20, $30, whatever it is. You know, $150, let's say.
Right.
Versus, and they may not be like, you know, I don't need the albums. I see them live all the time. You know, I can listen to some stuff on Spotify, you know, on YouTube, whatever. But that's support. So I'm not going to totally harp on these album sales and say everyone should have gotten out and bought it. But, you know, if you're supporting in other ways, and he's getting the support in other ways. Then
it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt to buy that album and support that. But, you know, I think that it may not be a bad look. Listen, your 2 cents on it. Give us a call. 646-378-1282. You're checking out the New York Hip Hop Report, the number one talk show for New York Hip Hop. We're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30. Catch us on our archives, nyhiphopreport.com. We're a free iTunes podcast. Go to iTunes, search podcast, and subscribe. Catch every episode. Shouts to the guests in the chat room. We appreciate you. If you're a first-time listener, you're the best. Go to nyhiphopreport.com. Do it right now. Are you on your computer? nyhiphopreport.com. Just to the right, there's a little thing that says email sign up. We send one email a week. I give you information about this show. I give you information about something that might have been recently posted on Birthplace Magazine, the number one website for New York Hip Hop. And I also give you whoever my latest guest was. I have another podcast called The Manny Faces Show, which is awesome, and it's over on bonfireradio.com. Because it's a long interview, sort of like the Combat Jack podcasts or, you know, just a long form interview with many different types of creatives, but often hip hop. So last week we ran back an episode I had done earlier with J57 with the Brown Bag All-Stars. He's an MC and a producer, used to work at Fat Beats Records, shouts and RIP to Fat Beats. And has done a lot of work in production, and now he's moving up in the ranks. He's does have some work on, you know, in the bag with Joey Badass, matter of fact. So we've known this guy for a long time. We've seen his progress. We've seen him coming up in the game. And he's so inspiring because he gave it all up for his music. He really epitomizes that whole, like, I gave everything up to follow my dreams, and now they're starting to pay off. So,
man, he's putting a lot of time, man. I mean, you know how long he's been at it. It's not like, you know, he's an overnight success. He's been, you know, honing his craft. And listen, honestly, he's been very good even from the very beginning because, you know, he's into what he does. He has tremendous passion.
Yep.
You know, he has tremendous support for his crew. And they all support each other, which is, you know, nice to see in crews.
Yeah, you know, the big thing about New York hip hop is that we have this reputation for not, you know, for being crabs in a barrel and you know, not supporting each other, but I see a lot of support all the time. I see support from the Brown Bag All Stars and a lot of different crews in New York City. Now some of them are cliquey, you know. Does the end of the week, you know, crew support the, you know, all that crew, you know what I mean? You know, do these different circles cross paths? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But there's definitely a lot of support in New York area hip hop. Again, something you're not going to hear about if you simply listen to the radio. So we're going to come back in a little while. We're going to talk about Cypher Sounds exiting Hot 97. What does that mean? Is this a further example of the station going under? You know, what's going on? Why don't they respect their elders, so to speak, and the people that got them there? We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to Mike Hands. Mike Hands is going to give us a call in a few minutes and kick it with us. Mike Hands is an artist himself. He's also the, I think, co-founder of Them Recordings. It's a label, indie label out of New York City, and they often do a lot of concerts and such. They have a concert series called the Ritter's Block Concert Series. Big show coming up this Friday. Two shows I want to... Oh, first of all, shouts to Eddie in the chat room. What up, Eddie? A long-time listener and supporter. Now out of New York State, but still checking into the New York Hip Hop Report. Shouts to you down in sunny Florida. Shouts to Juju and X and everybody down there who's hopefully doing well. And... yeah, man, good to have you in the chat room once again. My name is Manny Faces. You can find out more about me at mannyfaces.com and all my shows and other things that I got going on, DJing and all that. I want to shout out to the Bonfire Radio crew, again, the home of my other show, the Manny Faces Show, every alternating Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Great conversations with creatives, very often hip-hop, very often stuff that you guys would enjoy. Bonfire Radio is celebrating 2 years as a really amazing online radio platform, radio network. They have several shows on their network worth checking out. Morning shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, TK in the AM. Tuesday and Thursday nights, Cognac Time with Cooley High at 10 p.m. Really great mix of music and news you can use and entertainment and information. And they'll get ratchety and talk about a bunch of gossipy stuff, and then they'll talk to somebody on the ground in Ferguson in the middle of the riots and protests. So... that's the kind of all-around balanced radio. You got Brunch in the Budget. You got Sweet Success Sundays. You got some brand-new shows coming online. These guys are out of Brooklyn, and they're doing great work. They have my show on there. I'm really happy to be on there. Bonfire Radio celebrating 2 years, and they're celebrating tomorrow, Monday, February 2nd, at the Social Butterfly, 857 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. 2 year anniversary, after work, networking, meet and greet, starting at 6 p.m., going to about 11 p.m. And you can come down and meet and mingle. The broadcasters are going to be there. Some of the DJs from Bonfire Radio are going to be there, including me doing both. I'm a broadcaster, so I'll mingle with you. And I'm also a DJ, so I'm going to jump on the turntables for a little bit. So come down to the Social Butterfly, 857 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn. It's a free after-work event tomorrow, Monday. I think the snow is going to hit early, so you should be good by 6 o'clock. I'd love to see anyone who listens to the show. I'd love to see you there, you know, just supporting good people doing good things. My Bonfire Radio family, if you're in Manhattan and you might have missed the event, do check out our good friends Freestyle Mondays. It's a monthly event. It's happening also tomorrow, and I'm torn because I love to be at both of these things. Freestyle Mondays is a live band freestyle battle that goes on once a month. It's at Meridian 23 on 23rd. I don't know the exact address. I'll tell you in a second. Freestyle Mondays happens once a month. It used to be a weekly event. It's been going on for 13 years. You know nothing happens in hip-hop for 13 years unless it's super dope. They will be having their monthly freestyle battle and live band open mic going down at Meridian 23, and that is at 161 West 23rd Street in Manhattan, also tomorrow. So again, Bonfire, two-year anniversary in Brooklyn, the Social Butterfly, 857 Atlantic Avenue. I'll be jumping on the ones and twos and mingling with the listeners. And Freestyle Monday is a little bit later, kind of going on at the same time, but a little bit later over at Meridian 23. Either one of these would be a fantastic place for you to be. And those are two events that we support very, very highly. Once again, the New York Hip Hop Report, call us up after this segment if you have anything to say about what's happening on commercial radio, hip hop radio in New York City. Cypher Sounds leaving Hot 97. What does that mean? Is this one of the final nails in a coffin for this once venerable station? We're all about the indie scene. We know that we don't need the commercial radio, but we want to try and take it back and get some better representation. But we do love our independent, hard-working, hard-grinding crews that are out there doing big things, including indie labels. We talked about Joey Badass earlier this show about how much of a success story he is, being able to come out and go against the and find independent success. So we know, and we've said for years now, it's a great time to be an independent artist in New York City in hip-hop. One of the great examples of this would be an organization called Them Recordings, THEM Recordings, putting out great music from a bunch of great lyricists and musicians in New York City. And, of course, the Ritter's Block concert series, also a part of that, put together by the homie Mike Hands. We got Mike Hands on the phone with us. You on with the New York Hip Hop Report, brother. You there?
What's goody with you?
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right, man. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know, we've obviously been in touch, and we've put, you know, a lot of your stuff on Birthplace Magazine, and, you know, just watching y'all guys' progress. And, you know, tonight's a whole kind of topic about independent artists and independent movements, and you guys are really putting in some good work, and we just want to salute you, man, because it's a difficult thing to do, but it's a good time to be doing it, I think. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, I mean, it means the world hearing it coming from people that document not just me, but all the reputable individuals coming out in our league, I like to call it. So, you know, I know the caliber of the individuals that you guys do spotlight and focus on. So just to be spoken about in those circles, you know, I appreciate you guys tremendously.
That's what's up. No, we appreciate the appreciation, man. We're trying to tell your stories. You know what I mean? Y'all put in the work. I'm just sitting here in my underwear doing a radio show. So, go ahead.
Well, you know, I noticed you mentioned the writer's block earlier. You know what I mean? The platform, the magazine, pro magazine that we do, you know, the print. You know, we just, anything we can do to help sustain familiarity within this league, you know what I mean? Like, the hip-hop scene has started to become unfamiliar. And I think that's all that we're into. It's like the rap and the genre, that's not to be, that's a matter of taste. But the culture, that's not to be tainted. And that's what we're trying to hold on to.
Right, right. No, we're big proponents of that as well. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if you're familiar. I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, we actually petitioned the FCC to shut down Hot 97 for the fact that they actually use the term, you know, where hip-hop lives, and, you know, sort of discriminating against the larger aspect of what hip-hop means, you know. And that's important. So, you know, we're not getting the coverage from the mainstream media, so we have to do it ourselves. Tell me about, you know, Them Recordings and the Writer's Block concert series, and, you know, what those things have been doing to try to help keep that spirit alive.
Well, I mean, what happened with us, when we started Them Recordings, you know, me and my partner, Innocent, came together, my other partner, Mexican, we came together and decided that we just wanted to try to do it ourselves. We weren't getting any younger. We figured we've been in enough bad situations to kind of, by the process of elimination, figure out the better way to do it, at least the better way for us. So that's what we did, with the internet giving you the option to go straight to the public. We already knew how to do the grassroots aspect of things. So we just combined the two and said, you know what, we're just going to go for it, and we're gonna go after the kids that we feel are dope. Not that media feels is dope, not that the trends feel are dope. that we feel are dope. And that's what we went for. So all we do is we release our iPod, for lack of better terms. When we put out a record, it's something that we would probably listen to on our own terms anyway.
Right. Because you know there's an audience for it because you're part of that audience. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, with Sean Price, we have a group called GMR, the Grown Man Rap Crew, right?
Yep.
And we make grown man rap music, you know? Grown folk stuff. And we know there's a market of fellas that listen to what we listen to and appreciate what we appreciate and have the same aesthetics that we have. So that's what we try to cater to.
Yeah. Has it gotten easier? I mean, you're kind of a journeyman. You've been doing music for a long time and coming to the entrepreneur level and trying to really make something happen like this recently, or, you know, somewhat recently, I guess. Has it become easier? Have you seen more opportunities? I mean, it's getting tough. Venues are closing down. It's very tough to handle the business aspect of it. I guess from an audience perspective, are people starting to pay attention?
Well, what I like is it seems like the pendulum in the game is starting to swing back our way. Anyway, you mentioned the homie Joey Badass. He's one of the younger representatives that's helping to push it back into some kind of familiar space, like
right.
Kendrick, Joey, Currency, you
right.
know, these kids that are very lyric-based. And you know, the beats are the backdrops again and not the forefronts and the cloak that they're hiding under. And that makes it easier for us because these guys having our appreciation of the cosigns that we need to, you know, even though we're the quote-unquote OGs in the situation, they're the cosigns that we need. Right now when these
right.
kids are getting booked, they're getting booked on stages with us.
Right.
Like Joey gets booked with us with Boot Camp. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, you know, when we do shows, we have Joey, we have CJ Sly, we have, you know, Chelsea Reject. These are all the kids that books with Duck Down or books with Javadi, you know, or books with Jamila, which is, you know, Knife Wonder and Talib's brands.
Right.
Or with War Media, which is Pharoah's
brand. Pharoah Monch, yeah.
Yes, they have Indy 500 now, which represent culture that I'm talking about of the young kids with this retro spirit.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not that hard now. I mean, again, we you know, let's just be clear. Like, what we start to do is when you start to make this a realistic venture and stop trying to target a million people and start targeting 100,000 people and let it grow from there, it becomes a easier crosshair to hit.
Right, right.
It's less intimidating. You know, if you ever do business in the city, I always challenge people, when things get hard in your office, go upstairs to your neighbor's office and look at the city out his window. It looks less intimidating and way easier to conquer from there.
Right.
Gives you a new perspective, then you come down and attack. So what we do is every artist that we work with, we train them to target 100,000 people on the whole planet. It makes it seem like 100 people in the big scheme of things.
Right,
less
right,
intimidating,
right.
Easier mark to hit. And then what'll happen is, realistically, no one's going to love a record by themselves. If somebody loves a record, they're going to tap at least two people and say, yo, you got to hear this.
Right, right.
So that means my 100,000 is almost a proverbial 300,000. After that, you're selling over a 250,000 records. You sure you're not all right? You give me a venue on the planet that'll hold 250,000 people.
Right, right,
so
right.
So with that said, all you need is 700 people to come out at any given time to make sure that you have a sellout show.
Right.
You
right.
know,
who
so
do
you have to... train your target.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, I've always said that, you know, people try to I'm looking at it from a journalism point standpoint. I often criticize a lot of hip-hop journalism, and I say there's too many people trying to be all things to all people. You know, it's better to have kind of a, I don't want to say a niche, but, you know, look, I'm New York hip-hop. I could care less what happens in Philadelphia. You know, this
yes.
is our thing, and we're going to become the experts at this thing because there's plenty of stories to be told here. There's plenty of people to target in this world. Find your niche and own it. You know what I mean? So I
yes.
agree with that philosophy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Own that. You know, who are some of the artists that you guys represent on them recordings that are down with you guys? Just drop some names and so people who are listening know who
well,
to look
right
out for.
Well, right now, what you can look for is Innocent. He has a new EP coming out called The Whip Appeal with Stan the Man on production. He has a double CD that's out right now. Full LP, double CD, 30 records, Love It or Hate It, that's out right now. He has features from like Sadat X, Tech from Smith & Wesson, General Steel from Smith & Wesson, Rock Best Monster, Sean Price, Rusty Joseph. He just has an incredible project. For that on itsthemrecordings.com. We have Dreddy Kruger, John Dog Dreddy Kruger. He's about to drop Dreadful with a Vengeance. That drops March 27th. You can look for that all over the world as well. Very action-packed. He has international production on there, so that's great. Myself, Mike Hayes, I'm about to drop a mixtape called My Codees, where it's all my features. I have Rock Nez, Sean Price, General Steel, Hakeem Green, Smoother Hustler. A lot of my international homies are on there, like Wasta Festa from Italy, Khalif from Germany. It's really cool. So, you know, this was fun to work on, and I got Rampage, which is really dope. You know, just to put something in the world, man, and again, try to keep it familiar. And then coming out of the South, you know, we have G. Snyder out of South Carolina, out of Columbia, and his project is ready to go as well. I Ain't Running. So that you can look for all of these records we'll be releasing over the next couple of months. And then, you know, we have our affiliate team like Royal Flush, Tragedy Gaddafi, Red Eye from Infinity Gauntlet. So, you know, we got the affiliate team that's on deck that's looking to release projects through us as well. So we're just trying to work. And, you know, our parent company, we're an indie, but we have a label situation with Sony Red.
Okay.
We just don't use it. We're enjoying the independent life. But, you know, when it comes time for the right projects, we definitely have that, you know, that's in our back pocket.
Sony Red does pretty good by independent situations, from what I understand.
Absolutely. Love
it. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's dope.
Mike Pence, what do you say to the skeptics that, you know, that they just straight up listen to Hot 97 and then that's their gauge for what's out?
Wait, hold on. Could you repeat that for me one time, please?
You know, what do you say to the skeptics who say, you know, there's no real hip-hop music being made anymore, or it's just all, you know, the fluff and stuff you see on Hot 97 and Power 105? Like, are you able to speak to people and say, listen, you know, there's much more to what you see on the surface?
Well, think about it. Those people that truly understand what hip-hop music is never say that. And the reason I say it is because hip-hop music started in the underground.
Okay.
And I say it started in the underground, meaning you had to go find hip-hop. Hip-hop didn't come to your house. You had to venture out, put on your gazelles, put on your sheepskin, put on your leaves, put on your Stan Smith, and you and your homeboys went to a spot like Latin Quarters or the Roxy or, you know, the New Eureka, or went somewhere where hip-hop existed at. You had to search and seek hip-hop out, and it's the same thing now. We became a billion-dollar industry. It got out of hand because everybody started watching the money and not watching the culture. But what mainstream has done is like Superman and the Yellow Sun. They have forced hip-hop back into the underground, which is where we thrive at. This is like the Yellow Sun for us. We know how to do the underground. We didn't know how to be millionaires. We know how to do the underground.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what you did is you've given us all this knowledge of being in this million-dollar space and then put us back into our strong point, which means we have the opportunity to not make that mistake again.
Right. So to come up this time and create the industry instead of just being part of the industry.
Perfect example. This time we know what we're doing because we've seen it before. You know, it's like love. You don't know love until you've experienced it. You don't know stress until you've experienced it. You know, stress is like CO2. It's invisible. You don't know until it hits you.
Right.
So, you know, it's you know, but like you have a cat like me that's worked at Def Jam, you know, for Gangland, you know, Shine's label, or I worked with Miss Deb and Waka for Mosey Entertainment, which are both extremely mainstream in the day job component or in advertising, you know, doing ads and doing, you know, I'm a graphic designer by trade, doing ads and marketing and branding for these major brands like Swatch and Feline and Nietzsche, these major labels. And then now I'm applying all of that history to the underground. We didn't have that before.
Right, absolutely.
We didn't have cats that had mainstream background applying that major disposition to the underground. So, like, you know, we have the radio station that we started, Not 97, and with that situation, that's what it was about. It's like we're independent to make major moves because all of our resources we pulled down from the majors.
Right.
People that just don't appreciate the majors. We just don't appreciate what they're doing. And it's not that, again, there's a market for it, so we're not here to knock it.
Right.
we just don't appreciate it, you know?
I think that's super important, to be honest with you, and I like that you said that, and I guess as I watch what you guys do and I see the kind of clientele and the affiliates that you get, and you got real respect from these OGs that are in the game, and you got real respect from these young cats that are coming up, it's sort of like that's important. We don't knock what's happening elsewhere because, I mean, I personally think a lot of it is hip-hop. A lot of it don't want to admit is hip-hop. You know what I mean? But we also had a peewee dance. So, you know, we had some embarrassing moments in our days, you know? But at the same time, it's not about knocking what the next region is doing. It's not about not being able to put yourself in their shoes. If a 15-year-old in Atlanta, all he knows is Atlanta hip-hop, I can't knock him. I'd love him to know what we're doing up here. So that's important because a lot of people get caught up in the, you know, real hip, quote-unquote real hip-hop. But it's
my thing
matter
is,
of,
don't love the ahead. Rock if you never knew George Washington.
Okay.
All right? So it's like, even with that said, if you love something, you did the origin work.
Right.
That's all we act. And if you've done the origin work, it's going to reflect in what you're doing.
Right.
So when
yeah,
you see
that's a good
totally,
way to put it.
When you see and hear this totally disconnected existence, then you know that, no, you're just benefiting from hip-hop. You don't live it.
Right.
That's a problem I have.
Right.
If you're going to do it, do it. Make it your own. Hybrid it. You know, that's what rap is for. Understand the distinction. The genre is to be evolved. The genre is to be cut and to be dissected and to be genetically spliced or phonetically spliced to create these new sounds. But
right.
the culture is the studio. So when you walk in a studio, it don't matter what you make, rock building will never change. The mixer will never change. The speakers will never change. What came out of them, so be it, still a product of that studio. The things that we're hearing are still a product of hip-hop. But the problem is when the studio starts to change. Come and record. Don't move the speakers.
Yeah.
And that's all we said.
That's what's up. We're on with Mike Hands representing Them Recordings, THEM Recordings, in the Writer's Block Concert Series on a New York Hip-Hop Report with Manny Faces and Steve Ortiz. Brother, tell us what you got coming up. I understand it's birthday season for the young
Lord.
Yeah, what are we, Aquarius? Because I'm an Aquarius.
Yes,
man. My birthday was yesterday, my man.
A happy birthday. Happy belated.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
Aquarius
is
in the house.
We're Aquarii. You know, we got a conjugate. Aquarii.
There you go.
And, you know, I'm my birthday is actually the 7th.
All right.
It is. But we're doing this on the 6th at Coco 66 in Brooklyn. So that way I can take the stage at 12 o'clock.
That's the way to do it.
And do my set. So I have Sean Price headlining. I have Smith & Wesson. I have Milkbone. I have Smooth the Hustler. I have LR Blitzkrieg from MCMI and the Hydra Underground Legends. We have Cheddar Bang repping with, and he's in Quiet as Kept. Nobody knows this, but I'll put it out there now. He's bringing out Inspector Deck. So it's going to be an epic night in hip-hop for me personally. And I honestly, me taking the stage is still a variable because I really just wanted to put the show together I wanted to watch. That was like my birthday gift to me.
Right.
You know, but who knew? I got a call from Ralph McDaniels this morning, which was a blessing. Like, yo, I'm in. What's good? What are we doing?
That's what's up. Shout out.
So now
out
it'll be coming by Video Music Box, which is epic.
That,
you know, to me, that's
names.
Like certain things are just hip-hop validation, you know?
Oh, yeah. Brother, when I interviewed Ralph McDaniels, and that was it. That's all. And you couldn't tell me nothing after that.
Yeah, like,
he was
you
on
know, I
show.
Told Ralph a story. I told him a story. The first time that a Ralph McDaniels Video Music Box event was 1993 Easter.
Ooh.
And now listen, the bill had Positive K on it.
All right.
It had Prince, Marky B, and New Power Generation.
Wow.
It had Intro before Kenny passed away.
Wow.
It had Foxy and Jay, and it had the Foo Schnickens.
Wow.
All right, so that's telling you what I'm talking about. So we did that show, and then we laughed. We talked for about an hour and a half. I used to work for Ralph, and he had never met me. He had a video company called Classic Concepts.
Right, right.
Now, I'm a video director now, which who knew the origin story of that was being a PA, a production assistant for Classic Concepts when I was like 16, 17 years old.
Wow.
You understand what I mean? So
yeah.
It was just like to have him call my house on a Sunday morning. I'm like, this is who? He's like, it's Ralph who?
Right.
Uncle Ralph. Uncle, I don't know Uncle Ralph. Oh, Uncle Ralph. Oh, Barbie, what up?
Right, the Uncle Ralph, man.
Yeah, it took me a second, but the whole, hey, Ralph. You know?
Yeah.
Anybody that knows me will tell you, I've worked for Diddy as a designer. You know, I was a clothing designer for 14 years. Never did he know I rap because he already respected me as a designer.
Right.
I worked for Walker's mother, for Deb Annie, for 2 years. Never did she know I rap because she already respected me as a brand manager. I've worked with and around Ralph. I've worked with and around Danny Castro, Aunt Marshall, all these guys. I've never approached them because I wanted to earn my way on their radar.
Got you.
So for them to reach out, man, listen, it's like this. Like I don't ever need to go platinum. Like these are all plaques for me.
Right. No, I feel you, man. I feel you. I tell you one thing, Mike Hands, you've earned your way on my radar. For what it's worth,
I appreciate you, family. That means so much. I remember the first time you guys posted me. I almost lost my mind.
We just hey, listen. Yeah, you know, that's why we're here, man, because listen to all the things you're saying. Listen to the way you approach the game. You know, that's what those stories are missing. People don't understand that there's people that care about this music. They care about this culture. They're really putting in work. Like, this is work, man. We care about this. It keeps us up at night.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's definitely a passion project.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, I want to congratulate you on the success of them recordings. I mean, every you know, y'all almost giving me too much because every couple of days I'm getting something and I'm, you know, we scrambling to try to get people to you know put your shit up. It's always good stuff. You know what I mean? It's almost a given now, and you know, that's dope for me. You know, as a fan first, you know what I mean. But able to, you know, as a journalist, able to give y'all some shine, you know, and to have you call up tonight and kind of give us a little bit more of your story. It's fascinating stuff, man. We wish you all the best. And, man, this is going to be some kind of show Friday night. I'd like to make sure I'm there. And
Yes, please, anybody that can come out, man, just give them the details.
Word up. So that's what it is, man. We'll check you out this Friday. Coco 66 at 66 Greenpoint Avenue. I guess what, 8 o'clock doors, 9 o'clock showtime.
Yep, 9 o'clock showtime. It's
$12. It's nothing. You know, $12 to sit there and watch the homies Smith and Wesson. I tour managed them for like 2 stops last year. We drove
crazy
up to Albany, and they're the dopest cats, man. They're so cool, and they rock, you know, that real hip-hop. Don't tell me you can't find that real hip-hop anymore. It's out here.
We're here.
You know what I mean? Mike Hand, thanks for checking us out, man. We're going to check you out Friday.
Thanks a lot,
we'll
man.
Definitely make sure we push that for y'all, man.
Talk to you soon, man. I appreciate it. Salute.
All right, back at you, man. Once again, Mike Hands checking in from Them Recordings, an independent label based in New York City, putting out really good hip-hop music, you know? We've posted several things from them over the months and months, and really almost everything they drop is quality stuff. You heard some of the names they mentioned. They've got respect and love from the OGs. They are some of the OGs themselves, and you should check them out. Again, it's those people that want that quote unquote real hip hop. I don't like the term, but I know what you mean. And if you're looking for that, they're making that music today. You don't have to go back to your old CDs. You can go to Coco 66 this Friday, February 6th, and check out Sean Price, Smooth the Hustler, Smith & Wesson, Blitzkrieg, King Magnetic, Illogy, Cheddar Bang, Milkbone, and most likely the homie Mike Hands is going to jump on a stage. You know he's not going to be able to resist that urge. But this is what we're talking about when we've been talking about what we've been talking about for 2 years. New York City got that hip-hop you need. I don't care what kind of hip-hop you like. New York City got it. You'll find this event and many, many others listed on the Birthplace Magazine New York Area Hip Hop Event Calendar at birthplacemag.com. This is going to be a good show. I'm definitely going to check this out.
Yeah, that's a lot of, you know, a lot of artists that have put in time in this game that, you know, work hard. You know, he mentioned Mike Hansen somewhere on one of his social media pages. He mentioned laziness being, you know, an obstacle for many that, you know, many just think it's, you know, you just put in a few hours. I mean, you got to put in some time. You got to put in your work. You got to put in research.
Yeah.
You have to put in your sweat and tears. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that. They think the skills alone will carry them, or, you know, their hot beats or whatever. You know, and really a misconception. I mean, that's like, you know, the one in one, you know, 1 million, you know, person who ever gets through, you know, on a, as like, an, you know, an overnight sensation.
I gotta tell you this, Steve. There is so much mediocrity in hip hop. So much laziness.
They're just phoning it in. I mean, they have
they're
the
just
platform,
phoning it in,
and they're still phoning it in. You have the platform to put that stuff out and reach all these people, and you're still phoning it in.
You got two sides of it. You got the people that are big and lazy, a la the Funkmaster Flexes, which we said earlier. I'm so upset at him, man. Because you know what? You know, we criticize Flex a lot. But at the same time, there's some nights he gets on them decks, man, and he's the best that ever did it. Like, yo, he was so important to the movement. He was so important to hip hop. And then he phones it in. Steve, I literally heard him play Monday's show on a Tuesday night. Like, it was the next night, and it was like he just recorded it Monday, couldn't make it Tuesday, and ran it back. You don't do that, B. Put somebody else in your spot. You got no protege. You 49 years old, fam.
You can't ask, have anyone fill that slot. Like that's what I'm saying. That's laziness.
Like this is that's not how we do, man. Like
it's legacy. I mean, listen, DJ Red Alert. To this day, I have the utmost respect for him. He's never tarnished his legacy with this nonsense that Funkmaster Flex has done to himself.
Right. Right, you're right.
I mean, Funkmaster Flex like I used to.
It's hard, man. Like I said,
Damage's legacy. Just you know, I mean, listen. I wonder what his future is at Hot 97.
I mean, we didn't even really get into it.
Got kicked out.
Now you're right. We didn't even really get into it. I mean, Funkmaster Flex is the only.
He's the only dude left.
He's the only dude left. Cypher Sounds gone. DJ
Dennis
Mr. C,
Rivera.
Gone. Dennis Rivera.
Martinez.
Dennis. Angie Martinez. They're all gone. Like, what's happening at this station? They bring in a program director that never programmed a hip-hop station before. He's from Miami, and he's programmed Spanish stations. They bring a female...
That's laziness. Laziness. There you go.
Shout out to our executive editor, Bernadette Giacomazzo. Check out her editorial, the letter from the editor, our new executive editor on birthplacemag.com. Bernadette wrote an interesting piece following up on my beat, you know, covering the Hot 97 thing. She had a great letter from the editor, and we welcome you to check it out. It's on birthplacemag.com. It's called, well, I titled it, but it's CEOs Ain't Loyal, Cypher Sounds, Hot 97, Old Heads and Disrespect. And she writes, in Hot 97's case, let's look at Cypher Sound's midday replacement, Nessa. Infuriatingly, and without any sort of prior relevant experience in New York hip-hop, she's being touted as the voice of a generation and a natural successor to prior slot holder and legendary hip-hop jock Angie Martinez's hard-earned crown as the voice of New York.
Exactly,
she says,
hard-earned crown.
Exactly. And you know what? Bernadette goes on to say, Angie Martinez started from the ground up. What took Angie Martinez decades to earn is simply being handed to Nessa, unjustifiably, seemingly because she's young, hot, and good for a stupid soundbite. So I just don't see that. Listen, the radio business is a business, and it's about the bottom line, and I get it. You bring in young listeners, you keep the station afloat. That's great. Nessa, from what I understand, does great interviews. She's an MTV head. She's into that kind of, you know how like the Breakfast Club can bring in a reality
that's
TV.
That's not what New York radio is. This is not a Breakfast Club, you know, a national kind of show that they seem like
they
want to turn it into.
And they got it locked down. You're really going to try to compete with the Breakfast Club and Clear Channel and Power 105? Why don't you take the advice that Mike Hands spoke about earlier in this show, that I said earlier in this show, and find your niche and own it? There's a huge audience for hip hop, the culture in New York City, and they have a chance now to grab that and run with it. We've told them what to do. I've given them a petition with the FCC that their lawyers responded to, which means they're aware of it, but the way their lawyers responded to it, they don't understand it.
Exactly.
They think we're bitching about the content they play. We don't care about the content we play. We care about you serving your community. Hip-hop still exists. These writer block concert series that Mike Hands and them are putting together have people that attend them. There's a bunch of others. Shouts to End of the Week every week. Shouts to Freestyle Mondays happening Monday, February 2nd. Shouts to It's Alive, the It's Alive concert series. Shouts to Words and All That, the New Eurekan shows that happen once a month. There's plenty of people going out and supporting hip-hop, not top 40 rap music in New York City. So they continue to miss the signs. They continue to let Indianapolis dictate, you know, what they should do. They have half-assed personalities that don't they're in it for their own growth. Peter Rosenberg is cool. He likes indie hip-hop, and that's great. But he's not an advocate the way we need him to be an advocate. But he'll be the first to jump on stage and take credit for breaking Joey Badass. Nah, Pete, the internet broke Joey Badass. Let's not get it gassed. You know, Funkmaster Flex likes to say his legacy, and he runs this New York hip-hop radio game. That's just because your company is afraid to do anything that doesn't fall in line with what they've been doing. And your day's a number two, family, because you're not really bringing in listeners. The station's not really putting up the ratings it needs to. And there's going to be some major changes at that station. I'm telling you, mark my words. You know, I mean, I don't know. I throw my hands up.
Their website, if you look at their news articles, the news articles are all being supplied by Mr. Funkmaster Flex.
Listen, that is the – listen. And he had
– no lie. You go right to their website right now.
We talked about this last
–
We talked about this last week. He was given a deal at MS Communications for his digital prowess. Yo, for real?
What digital prowess? Showing a bunch of tits and ass.
He talks about numbers, but he's going to get caught up in that mix. That's not going to last forever. And I really feel sorry.
Unrelated to hip hop stuff.
Listen,
Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight reportedly official May 2nd. Yeah, that's a great news event. But there's like 80 million stories about indie artists that we could put in that little spot there.
I mean, I hate to say
especially
this,
especially with Hot 97. Don't they have the resources?
I hate to say this.
To write for them.
Funkmaster Flex is no longer a hip-hop DJ. Point blank. I don't care what he's done in the past. He called Jay-Z out for being a corporate rapper, and maybe that's true, because I don't know that Jay-Z... Jay-Z's not exactly a street rapper anymore, but no, I think he should be respected for his legacy, his real legacy. Funkmaster Flex once was an integral part of hip-hop. And he is no longer. And he thinks he is, and I think that he's deluded by that, and I think the company deludes him because I guess they're all he has. He probably has still a good lockdown on, you know, his radio slot. Because not for nothing, Power 105 needs to move on from freaking DJ Clue, to be honest with you also, because, you know, enough is enough. But they don't want to rock the boat. Nobody wants to make a change. And these classic hip-hop stations that are popping up across the country, they're cute. But they're not going to last either. So what's needed is not going to happen. And what's needed is a hybrid. You need to have people that are willing to take chances on new music and not wait 2 years until the cat sells 50,000 records before you start playing his music. Not wait, Funk Flex, until you have a deal to make a mixtape with Action Bronson before you start playing Action Bronson.
Exactly. All of a sudden, Action Bronson this, Action Bronson that.
All of a sudden.
Presents Action Bronson. Yeah. What happened when Dr. Lester came out? Right.
You could play these songs on the radio, you know. So listen, we're not in the business of just complaining. We want to make sure you know where to go and what to listen to. So every show of ours.
We're speaking, man. It's Sunday, we're speaking the gospel right here. And this is the
truth. It is. Praise the Hip Hop Lords. Praise the Hip Hop Lords. The New York Hip Hop Report every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to about 11:30, whenever we stop talking. So we're complaining about the state of New York Hip Hop Radio because we really want our audience to be served. We know that you're here checking us out Sunday nights, and we appreciate you. Shoot, I'd love us to be on FM radio so y'all can hear us on a regular basis. I'd love us to be on satellite radio so that we could tell the story to the nation, and the nation would really understand what's happening in New York hip hop because they don't get it. They don't understand it. They see a ASAP Rocky and they laugh because he sounds like he's from Houston. But ASAP Rocky's New York. We'll take him. As long as you know about a Joey Badass, which it took the rest of the country a couple years to figure out. Now you hear Joey Badass, and what do they say? Well, he sounds like 90s hip hop. Meh. But wait a second.
Insulting.
We got we got Flatbush Zombies, and we got Underachievers. These brothers, oxymorons, are doing some great work. Now, look at the them recordings. They sound like old hip-hop but new. The Brown Bag All-Stars. But what about live hip-hop? Like live, you know, not thuggy. Oh, no, we got Freestyle Mondays. You know what I mean? We got so many things. There's so much going on. I'd love for us to be on FM radio to be able to tell this story. I'd love for us to be on satellite radio to tell this story. But at the end of the day, this show right here is 1,000% more hip-hop than Funkmaster Flex, Peter Rosenberg, or whoever's left grasping at straws at that station. It's 100% more hip-hop than whatever gets played on a clear channel, Power 105. So you're right, Steve. We are speaking the gospel. I'm not just going to complain about what Hot 97 does. I'm going to make sure you know about Mike Hands, Them Recordings. It's themrecordings.com. Come out Friday, February 6th. Coco 66, 66 Greenpoint Avenue, Brooklyn, and check $12 Friday night. Real hip hop. Be there. Come out tomorrow night, Monday, February 2nd. I'll be on the ones and twos with some other DJs from Bonfire Radio. Bonfire Radio is a great alternative if you're tired of radio and you're tired of this bullshit top 40 radio and these, check out, it's the morning show. Good, 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 good. Check out their morning show tomorrow, Monday, February 2nd. Check them out, TK in the AM, bonfireradio.com, or you can check them out on the app, TK in the AM, Bonfire Radio. Look up Bonfire Radio on your, TuneIn Radio app, or Live 365. You can check them out. And expand. Mike Hands, our guest earlier tonight, said we used to go look for hip-hop. Yo, that's word is bond. We used to have to listen to, you know, 4 hours a week, 2 hours of DJ Red Alert, and 2 hours of, you know, Marley Marl, Mr. Magic, Marley Marl on BLS. We have to record the radio with cassettes. We had to, like, put in work because they weren't showing us hip-hop 24/7. Well, guess what? If you don't like the kind of hip-hop that's on the radio, believe you me, that type of hip-hop exists. And they may not be showing it to you 24/7, but if you look around a little bit, you pay attention to us if you're in New York. Even if you're not in New York, you can't come to our events, but you could find out about the artists and the movements and the labels. Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York hip hop. Check out our recent stories. Once again, Rose Rome and Styles P. Make the money holler in a video. That's some grimy New York screw face music.
Oh,
again,
nice. Check that out. It's double R Rose. Double R Rose.
Yeah.
Rose Rome.
Rome. Yo, this dude's got some nice features. He's down with D Block.
Yeah.
He's got the D Block producers in a set making some dope music.
Beat too.
I like that beat. That beat is like some classic bubbly shit. You know what I mean? We have a 5-1 update from the 22nd. Joey Badass, Action Bronson, Tanya Morgan. You like Tanya Morgan? If you like Tribe Called
Quest.
That's
the nice little EP I got.
Yeah, Tanya Morgan's new EP. That's some dope stuff. Shouts to Tanya Morgan. We always fucks with them. Coal Mine Records put out a real good remix project. Shouts to Matt Diamond. Shouts to Diamond Media. Coal Mine Records also a great source of traditional purist New York hip hop. Check them out. Coalminerecords.com. Their new project.
Those are heads. They're not looking for, you know, sell millions of records. You're just looking to provide that music for the heads.
I'm telling you, man, I get so tired. Yo, I'm so amped, man. There's so much good shit happening. Check out Nutso. Check out the homie Nutso and Houston's Trade of Truth. You don't always get a New York cat, a real, with a Queens, right? Nutso? A real New York head and a Houston head combining so well. But they combine real well. Nutso and Trade of Truth, Hustler Spirit.
And I like that Trade of Truth. And I have heard Nutso before, but Trade of Truth, you know, from Houston. I mean,
I like
normally
flow,
wouldn't
man.
Have heard him.
I like this flow. I like this flow. I like how that went down. These are all recent things up on birthplacemag.com. Of course, the latest editorial by Bernadette, our executive editor, CEOs Ain't Loyal, Cypher Sounds, Hot 97, Old Heads, and Disrespect over at Hot 97. Of course, if you haven't seen my earlier coverage of Hot 97's missteps, go check that out. Check out my information about my FCC petition that is still active. Steve, I'm going to be calling the FCC this week, and I'm going to find out where we're at with that. I'd like to see if that petition has caused any kind of internal pressure. I have heard some rumors that my petition to the FCC has indeed caused concern over at Hot 97, and particularly with their parent company, MS Communications. There's been some heat. I don't know that that's true. It might be somebody just trying to make me feel good. I'd like to find out for sure. It is an active petition. I petitioned against their broadcast signal, which you can only do every 8 years. And you can only do if you have a very valid concern. And it's some very specific rules you have to follow and some very like FCC government restrictions. And I made a case that was different from any other objections in the past. So we'll see how it goes. It's very clever, if I do say so myself. But I don't know the outcome, but I know that it's still active. It has not been dismissed. So I still have the power to be the one that either shuts down Hot 97 or forces them to change their tagline to not contain the words hip-hop. Wouldn't that be something? I suspect that there are big things happening at Hot 97, perhaps a format change, perhaps something else we don't know about. They also own WBLS. There's some things going down that are going to change the landscape of New York hip-hop radio for good. And I'm not thrilled about it. I don't want to lose Hot 97 as the voice of hip-hop. I want a better Hot 97. I think that it's very important that hip-hop has a mainstream voice and that none of these people are doing it with the respect that it deserves. And it's discriminatory and it's sad because hip-hop made
like
them who they are. They may, man. They may. I've been saying that for a while. They may. But we'll see what happens. In the meantime, in between time, we do wish Cypher Sounds the best in his future endeavors. We had him on this show at the beginning of last year. Nah, I think he's fucking with you. But he is doing comedy. And I do know that check Cypher Sounds. Follow him at twitter.com/CypherSounds. We had him on this show, and I respect him greatly for appearing on this radio broadcast early last year. You can check out his great interview. It was really a great interview with him about things like, you know, breaking Rihanna, you know, making Rihanna who she is, working at Hot 97 and why he doesn't break records and play New York hip hop or didn't when he was on the air at Hot 97, and just his career and his you know, his work, and especially his comedy work. Every Friday night he's put together a great show called Take It Personal, and that comedy show goes down at UCB East every Friday night at about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I think it's 8 o'clock showtime, but say 7:30 so you'd be there on time because, you know, people can't come on time to anything. But it's at the UCB East Theater. It's a hip-hop improv show. I've seen it more than once. It's at 153 East 3rd Street, New York, New York. And it's a $10 show. It's a fantastic date. Cypher Sounds will bring on some personality, some hip-hop, you know, icon or somebody involved in the game. They'll tell some stories, they'll make some jokes, and then these hip-hop improv show actors will act out these weird stories that rappers you know, provided them. It's a fantastic show. I will almost guarantee you that I'll give you back your money if you don't enjoy yourself. It's a great date show. I laughed my ass off both times I went. Cypher Sounds is absolutely 100% onto something. And I wish him the best because he was a cool dude, and I don't think he should have gotten shitted on by Hot 97 like he did. So, that's that. Steve, you got anything else for us tonight?
No, this is about it, man.
All right, that's what it is. New York Hip
Hop. That's it enough.
Yeah, the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces and Steve Ortiz, Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York Hip Hop. And, of course, all of our shows are archived at nyhiphopreport.com. Thank you for listening live. Shouts to Eddie. Shouts to our guests in the chat room. Shouts to Mike Hans from Them Recordings. And make sure you go check out his birthday show. Big birthday show happening this Friday, February 6th, at Coco 66, 66 Greenpoint Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. Video music box on scene. Shouts to Uncle Ralph McDaniels, the big homie. Shouts to Sean Price, Smith and Wesson, Smooth the Hustler, and others to be performing. This is going to be a great underground slash indie slash real New York hip hop show. 66 Greenpoint Avenue, Friday, February 6th. In between then and now, go to Bonfire Radio's second annual meet and greet at the Social Butterfly tomorrow, Monday, February 2nd. It's their second annual meet and greet. Meet the broadcasters of this really thriving, fantastic internet radio station based in Caribbean Flatbush, Brooklyn. Special announcements, new artwork, music by Bonfire DJs, including yours truly, Manny Faces. Liquid, who's an amazing MC and an amazing DJ on the set. Uncommon NASA and Samurai Banana are going to be doing some real progressive hip-hop shit. And Macedonia, we'll be one of the new broadcasters on Bonfire Radio with some soul, funk, R&B, and just all that good get down with the nitty-gritty type music. Plus cake. It's the birthday celebration, damn it. And it's my birthday yesterday, so I'll be celebrating my birthday there. The Social Butterfly, 857 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. Of course, going on also Monday night, starting about 8:30 and going on to about 1:30 in the morning. Freestyle Mondays, the game show battle and open mic. Freestyle Mondays at Meridian 23 at 161 West 23rd Street, New York City. It's one of my favorite, believe me, I'm there every time. One of my favorite events. It's great. It's hip-hop. It's live band. It's music. Some of the best musicians in New York City. You don't even have to like hip-hop. You don't even have to like rap. And you can check out Freestyle Mondays and you'll love it. I promise you, it's free, but I'll give you your money back if you don't like it. Every first Monday at Meridian 23, Freestyle Mondays, and check that out. So in the meantime, in between time, we'll be back here next Sunday, 10 p.m. with the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces and Steve Ortiz. I want to dedicate this episode to Aria, my daughter, who was born one week ago Saturday, January 24th, new addition to the Faces family. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. Mrs. Faces is doing wonderfully. And thank you. I skipped last week, obviously, because I was just recovering from having a baby. I didn't have the baby, but you know what I mean. So, yeah. So I'm over the moon. I'm in love. So, yeah. So thanks for bearing with me for missing last week's episode. Thanks to Mike Hans for checking in tonight. Thanks to Eddie and the guests in the chat room checking us out. And thanks to you, Steve Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Faces.
It's been a pleasure. I appreciate you greatly. See if you can come out Friday, man. I'm going to go down and check out this Mike Hans birthday show over there at Coco 66. And if not, I will see you soon. And I will listen and talk and mingle and with everybody else next Sunday night here at 10 p.m. The New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces. Just the best show ever. You guys know it. Thanks for supporting us. We'll be back next week. Check us out, nyhiphopreport.com. Join the mailing list. Join the mailing list. And we'll check you out soon. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, man. Peace.
All right, we are out.
Yes. For sure, we need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists. Cause, you know,
that,
yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually have the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants and Jets, New York Knicks. TaylorMade clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.